This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. At Camp Pendleton here in Southern California yesterday, military prosecutors concluded a hearing against a Marine commander charged with failing to report the killings of Iraqi civilians. It happened in the Iraqi town of Haditha. There, 24 Iraqi civilians were killed in November of 2005 following the death of a Marine in a roadside bombing. Battalion Commander Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Chesani is the highest-ranking Marine officer accused in the case. NPR's John McChesney reports.
There's a clash of legal missions out here at Camp Pendleton. Defense lawyers will tell you that these proceedings could paralyze Marines now in Iraq, making them hesitate and get killed in confrontations with insurgents. But the prosecutors, though they don't say it directly, clearly believe that the message to troops in the field is, make sure you know what you're shooting at. After all, we're trying to win the hearts and minds of the Iraqi population. By far, the most dramatic testimony of the day here involved the case of Battalion Commander Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Chesani. Prosecutor Lieutenant Colonel Sean Sullivan choked up as he described the special bond between a commander and his Marines when in combat, and the near impossibility of a commander imagining his Marines could do something wrong. Sullivan recalled that Chesani's officers had asked him whether an investigation was called for, following Time magazine's questions about what had happened in Haditha. Chesani shouted at them several times, "My Marines are not murderers." But Sullivan said a commander's duty was to override his personal feelings and do what was called for, to investigate why women and children were killed in their homes. Defense lawyers argued that Colonel Chesani had done everything required of him. The deaths, including women and children, had been reported up the chain of command, and no one had seen fit to call for an investigation. The defense dismissed a call for an investigation by the Haditha Town Council as insurgent propaganda. Outside the courtroom, defense attorney Brian Rooney said that Chesani had already been punished by being relieved of his command. He said no one would be in this courtroom if a bomb had been dropped on those houses from an aircraft. The Marines had a formula for that, he said.
Make it simple. If there was one bad guy in a house and the potential collateral damage was something less than 30, meaning 29 or less, then it was okay to drop the bomb on the house to get the one bad guy.
Since only 24 civilians were killed in the three houses cleared by the Marines, Rooney reasons that kind of destruction of civilian life should not be considered highly unusual. Last year, Army Major General Eldon Bargewell completed an independent investigation of the Haditha killings and reported that for the Marines, Iraqi civilian lives aren't as important as U.S. lives, and their deaths are considered just the cost of doing business. Defense Attorney Brian Rooney, a former Marine, agrees with the first part of that assessment.
I'll tell you, I value Marine Corps lives over Iraqi lives. I think Americans value American lives over Iraqi lives, and not to say anything less than my, you know, fellow man, but I'd rather, if my son or daughter were over there, that they come back alive than come back dead.
Rooney says Marines are not trained for the mission they're being called on to carry out in Iraq.
When you train a force like the Marine Corps to fight, to establish a beachhead and be shock troops, and then you ask them to do police force work in a counterinsurgency as occupiers, it creates, you know, a dissonance amongst the Marine Corps and Marines in particular.
In another courtroom at Camp Pendleton, a preliminary investigation was begun into the case of Lance Corporal Justin Sherratt, who is charged with murder in the Haditha case. He was a member of the squad that cleared those houses there. John McChesney, NPR News.
Some of the fiercest factional fighting yet is raging in the Gaza Strip. It's between gunmen belonging to the two rival Palestinian factions, Fatah and Hamas. Nearly two dozen Palestinians have been killed in the fighting that now threatens to push Gaza into deeper violence. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports from Gaza.
Intense fighting continued throughout the night and into today as Fatah and Hamas gunmen battled for control of security centers in Gaza City. Fierce ongoing combat is centered on an abandoned high-rise near the waterfront and the presidential security compound. Fatah loyalists are using heavy machine guns and 27-millimeter Egyptian-made light cannons. Hamas gunmen are returning fire with rocket-propelled grenades or RPGs and automatic weapons. Fatah gunmen this morning fired an RPG at the home of Hamas leader and Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh. He was not injured. Hamas fired several mortar rounds this morning at the presidential compound. Nearly two dozen people have been killed in the last 3 days alone. Mohammed Sawerki was one of the casualties. The 28-year-old was newly married. He worked as a cook and supply clerk with Force 17, an elite unit directed and controlled by Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian president and Fatah leader. Sawerki was delivering food to soldiers when he was kidnapped Sunday evening by Hamas militants as new factional clashes erupted. Around dusk, Hamas gunmen took him to the roof of the 18-floor El Ghefri Tower, an abandoned high-rise near the waterfront, and pushed him off. Rami Sawerki is his brother.
We got a call from Hamas, other people who were there. Muhammad's legs had been tied together with his own belt. His hand had been tied, and they threw him off the roof.
Rami sits under a big blue plastic tarp at the mourning tent set up for his brother's funeral.
We hope that Hamas keeps on inventing new ways of killing the people, so those who believe their lies will know the truth of Hamas and how vicious they really are.
Rami says to him, Islam's core is about mercy and forgiveness. We don't want retaliation, the 35-year-old says. We don't want any more bloodshed in this civil war. But Fatah fighters were not in a forgiving mood. Sunday night, Fatah loyalists shot 24-year-old Hossam Abu Ghaynas, a suspected Hamas supporter, and hurled his body off the 10-story Muhana Tower. The tit-for-tat high-rise killings were just the beginning of a new, brutal round of internal Palestinian fighting. Last night, Force 17 brought out one of its few functioning armored personnel carriers and blasted away with its main cannon and heavy machine guns. The target? Hamas gunmen holed up in the abandoned high-rise from which Mohammed Sawerki was thrown. Also last night, Hamas gunmen laid siege to the home of a Fatah leader in northern Gaza, Jamal Abu Jedien, a close aide to Gaza's strongman and Fatah leader Mohammed Dahlan. Hamas gunmen dragged Abu Jedien into the street and shot him 45 times, according to witnesses and hospital officials. Earlier, four people were killed when fighting erupted inside and around Beit Hanoun's main hospital. Militants from both sides also stormed Gaza City's Al-Shifa Hospital, prompting healthcare workers to flee in fear and to protest that Gaza hospitals had once again become combat zones. The renewed fighting has prompted thousands of Gazans who were able to do so to flee, people such as 39-year-old Ali Badwan, a married father of four. Badwan directs a management consulting firm here. He's the kind of educated entrepreneur needed someday to help rebuild Gaza. But Badwan says right now he feels there is no place in Gaza for reasonable people.
They have no voice. The voice only, it's for the gun machines. And this is the problem. We don't understand, really. Where they are going? To build the state by fighting each other? They are going to destroy themselves and our country.
European Union monitors at the Rafah border crossing in southern Gaza say in the last year at least 30 Palestinians have left the Gaza Strip every day and did not return. The EU says that's double the daily permanent migration from the previous year. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Gaza City.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News.